Thank you for listening to the Ablaze Church Sermon Podcast. Our purpose at Ablaze is to love God, love others, follow Jesus, and tell others. If you are looking for a church home in the Tulsa area, we'd love to have you join us for worship on Saturdays at 6:30 p.m. or Sundays at 10:30 a.m. For more information, please visit our website at ablazechurch.org.
Today, I want to explore with you this whole matter of zeal. And what we have for us in the 12th chapter of Romans is we continue on this I chart of grace. You know, zeal. We're going to be looking at an eye chart helps diagnose where our visual difficulties may be. So I want today's message also to be a way we can evaluate what level of zeal for the Lord that we may have. Does this have a fundamental life-changing impact upon our lives? What part does the gospel play in our lives? I mean, where is Jesus Christ? And the bottom line is he is either everything or he is nothing. So how is your zeal? The opposite of zeal, I'll use the word apathy, and the teacher is asking the students, who can tell me the difference between ignorance and apathy? And they're all sitting there kind of glassy-eyed. So the teacher just at random points at one and says, okay, you, what's the difference? He says, I don't know, and I don't care. Ignorance and apathy, right there. Well, I read about recently a traffic jam that took place in China not that many years ago. And this was the mother of all traffic jams. And I don't know if it was a bridge that went out in the flood or if it was a multi-vehicle accident. But it was reported that this traffic jam was 60 miles long. No one was going anywhere. It stopped. I mean, that was a real jam. Everybody is stalled, and it's obvious that it wasn't going to be right away that everybody would be able to go. So everybody being stopped opened their doors. They came out. Some just kind of wandered around aimlessly. Others had some lunches there with them, and took out games and cards, and they started playing things and had lawn chairs. Some of them were taking naps. Now, sometimes people can get stuck. Life can seem like a traffic jam. Have you ever felt sometimes your brain and your emotions in some kind of a gridlock? You're not sure what's going on, where to go, what to do. And you know what? Christians sometimes can get that way. And sadly, even churches. And they can be dozing off, churches just playing games, churches even just wandering around aimlessly. Well, all of that, while our society continues to deteriorate and the souls of men are dying, and you don't have to listen very hard to kind of catch the sound of that death rattle in our society as we are in a process of dying. But as for me, you know, hey, I'm okay. I'm fine. I'm pretty happy. I got a nice wife. Hey, we live in a nice neighborhood. Yeah, I got a lovely church to go to. I mean, everything's really, really, really good. Yep. But you know what? You can maybe feel that way, but if you aren't going anywhere, if your spiritual map inside your spiritual head doesn't have you someplace on a destination towards someplace else, it really doesn't matter if you get stuck if you're going nowhere. Well, let's think about this situation, this guy who goes to fancy church, you know, stuffy church. And he said about his church, he said, we don't know where we're going, but we are going there with dignity. All right. Well, you know, this calls our attention to the need for zeal, passion, not just holding a vision like fully devoted followers of Jesus, but that passion holds us. That vision, the mission of Jesus Christ actually holds us. Okay, so how is your personal zeal? We've looked at an eye chart of grace, so how about a little chart of zeal? Zeal for relationship with God. Zeal for obedience to God. Zeal for growth in the Word of God, in our relationship with Him. Growth in the Word and the work of God and the service of God and the house of God. Zeal for the mission of God. Zeal for reaching lost people in the world. What is your passion? What perks you up? What wakes you up in the morning with the desire to go the extra mile, do something a little bit more, push for the greater effort? What would prevent you from being just some kind of a spiritual slacker? Where's your zeal? Well, I want you to meet some people that have real zeal. One is a guy named Jeremiah. Jeremiah, he was not a bullfrog. He was a prophet of God. And this prophet was sent to a difficult field to speak for the Lord where people were going to reject him. It was going to be tough going all the way. And this is what he said in chapter 20 of his writing. This is what he says. If I say, I will not mention him or speak any more in his name, there is in my heart, as it were, a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I am weary with holding it in, and I cannot. Boy, talk about a fire in the belly. The word of the Lord was in his heart. He had that passion, and it just drove him. Now, when I was a boy of 8 years old, I met a man who had that kind of a burning passion. Now, it was a Sunday afternoon. Mom and Dad piled us all into the car. We drove the 25 miles from our home into the center of the city of Minneapolis to the Minneapolis Auditorium, which was the biggest building I'd ever been inside of in my life up to that point. Wow. That was where the world champion Minnesota or Minneapolis Lakers played basketball. George Mikan, Mr. Basketball. I don't see anybody out there old enough to remember that. Okay. But there was a speaker. It was the closest thing maybe that there ever was to a Lutheran revival meeting. The speaker was Dr. Walter A. Meyer. He had been my dad's seminary professor in Old Testament. Now, his area of expertise was not in preaching, but that's where, actually, he was a bigger name than Billy Graham was, okay? He was the world's most renowned radio preacher, had the largest religious broadcast. In fact, the father of all religious broadcasting was him, Dr. Walter A. Meyer. And thousands upon thousands of people came to know Jesus Christ because of his zeal, the passion with which he brought the message of Jesus Christ, and it was targeted to the hearts of people. The Holy Spirit used that word and brought them into a living relationship with Jesus Christ. My dad said, "Son, I want you to meet a great man." And at the end of that meeting, and there's a long line of people wanting to shake his hand, and my dad said, "Dr. Meyer, this is my son, Arthur. I want you to shake his hand." He shook my hand. A powerful, powerful handshake there. Of course, you know, that muscle developed thousands upon thousands of handshakes, but a hearty one because he wanted to know that we mattered. Well, why do I bring him up? I bring him up because he was reputed to have said, "I want to burn up my life for Jesus." And indeed, he did. Because in his 50s, he went home to glory. Right at the height of his powers and of his, his popularity. Well, that man, had zeal. At the end of the Second World War, new mission fields were opened up. And sometimes these mission fields were in very dangerous and very undeveloped areas of the world. Now, the Lutheran missionaries that were assigned then, the new seminary graduates who didn't know any better, they're sent off to New Guinea. And they were told, you have to pack all your things inside of caskets, one for every member of your family. Put them in caskets. Why? Because they knew there was a strong possibility they would never return home from that land to die and to be buried. They would give their lives all the way to the very end for one simple purpose, for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is the only way by which any person in any part of the world, from any culture, any century, could be saved. There are in the Bible examples of martyrs, but let's pick out the 12 disciples of Jesus. Did you know that, if the historical record is correct, 11 out of the 12 of them died as martyrs for the sake of Jesus Christ? They had something worth dying for, which meant that there was something worth living for day after day after day. And really, it doesn't matter if you get weary. It doesn't matter if you get disillusioned. It doesn't matter if you run out of money and run out of time, whether you face stiff opposition, ridicule, or even physical threats for your life. God never intended for his kids to grow up to be wimps. Wow. He could say, this is what Paul said. He says, I am crucified with Christ. Crucified with Christ means I'm dead. Nevertheless, he says, I live. But I've been raised with Christ now. But in Romans 6, he says, in your baptism, you are buried with Christ. You die, but that you might live for something greater and higher. If you want to know the real deal about zeal, you got to look at Jesus. Jesus said, really, I must do this when he looked at his mission. I came not to be served, but to serve and to give my life as a ransom. And so he endured the rejection, the abuse, the accusations, the lies, and he came back for more because he was a man on a mission. And why? Because, get this, lost lives matter to Jesus. I can say it again. Lost lives matter to Jesus. Can you say it with me? Lost lives matter to Jesus. And if they matter to Jesus, they better matter to us. They better matter to a Blaze church. He saw each one of us before we were born, lost in sin, living in a world of confusion and chaos and division. He knew that he was the only means by which we could experience reconciliation with God and with each other, even though it meant going to a cross to rescue us. Nothing could take his eyes off of his mission, off of his goal. And even when the devil threw at him everything that he had, every lie, every temptation, Jesus stood firm and said to the devil, "Huh, try again. Make my day." And Jesus did in the resurrection when all the kingdom of Satan was smashed into bits and pieces. We live on this side of that great event. Well, he changed us and our destiny from a hopeless end into an endless hope. He did whatever that was necessary to save us. Well, now, I want to explain something to you as we think about how we apply this. This whole matter of what's the deal about zeal. All right, let's think of the difference between two words, average and normal. We together, you know, measure something, add it all up, divide it by the number of people here. That would be the average. You know, what's the average intelligence? Oh, by the way, did you know that 49% of the children in Oklahoma are below average? Isn't that shocking? The teachers ought to do something about that. Okay, but we don't want to live the average Christian life. We want to live the normal Christian life. You see, we set the average. God sets the norm. God says, this is what's normal. And the trouble with a lot of churches is when someone comes in that's normal, everybody thinks that person has a fever. Now, think about a church in which we are all normal. When we're done with this series on Romans 12, Pastor Dreyer and I are going to preach about this, the seven churches in the book of Revelation. You don't want to miss it. In fact, just start telling people, hey, you got to be watching. You got to come, you know, when the seven churches of Revelation, which were churches that were largely mediocre, especially the church of Laodicea. So we need to know something else. And that is, what is the secret of the divine energy? Anybody here NASCAR? Oh, Donna, you're a NASCAR fan. Okay, now let's say you're in the pack and you want to position yourself just so that you can catch the slipstream, because there's something that's happening. There's a reduced air pressure and a forward suction, you know, that is created by the vehicle that is right ahead of you. You want to catch that slipstream. This is, you see, catching the power of the Holy Spirit. Or the Bible never says a word about NASCAR, though it does say something about Hondas, you know, when the people of God were all gathered in one accord. But, sorry. Okay, those of you out there, I hope you laughed. All right. And that is, Isaiah 40, in the book of Deuteronomy, in Psalm 103, okay, wings of eagles rising up like wings of eagles. You ever see, you've seen eagles, you've seen them soar, and then they get higher and they get higher. Do they get higher because they flap their wings like crazy, like a hummingbird? No way. They catch the updraft. You see, that's the Holy Spirit in the life of the Christian. The updraft, the uplift. And that is what makes it possible for us to have the zeal, to have that overcoming victorious faith. That's what makes it all possible. You see, that Holy Spirit who on the day of Pentecost transformed the disciples who were always hiding behind these locked doors, almost like, you know, living as if Jesus hadn't risen from the dead, you know, like nothing really had happened, like they were defeated. But the Holy Spirit came upon them, the same Holy Spirit that is present right here, right now. The same Holy Spirit that I believe is probably pestering you even at this moment. You think so? The Holy Spirit, yeah, pestering. He does that. He likes to do that. We like to say, I'm not sure, but this is divine energy to lift us up. And those disciples became a tightly knit, fully devoted band of disciples who did all kinds of high-risk things for the sake of their passion, of their zeal, the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, without which people cannot be saved. He didn't want them to be average. He wanted them to be normal. And the enemies picked up on that and they said, these people are turning the world upside down. Okay, so serious now for each one of us. If you were shopping on Amazon, right now we'd be at that point where there's a little button that comes up and you can click it that says, buy now. Or you can just leave it in your shopping cart, walk away, and say, sometime, you know what, I can think some more about that. Right now, I'm not quite ready to buy. Are you ready to buy in on what God has for you? Are we ready as a Blaze Church? In this kind of a time of a little bit of a break, when we can be thinking and praying and seeking to discern, God, what do you have for us? Well, here's what I would suggest for the buy now. Okay, there's a little bulletin thing, that little, that card. Backside, there's some blank space. You know what? You could write something in there if you want to buy now. Let me tell you what to do. On there, write down that you're going to make a list on the basis of Romans 12. You're going to go home, and during this week, you're going to read and reread Romans 12. And you're going to make a list of everything that God is telling you to do through the Apostle Paul. And these are going to be sometimes changing some patterns, some habits, changing some life, changing some perspective. Okay? So write down everything that God tells you to do in the 12th chapter of Romans. And maybe at the top of the list is Jesus is number one. Jesus is the priority, and if he is, then worshiping Jesus is not an optional now and again activity when I feel like it or when I feel like I need it. No, that's a high priority because we're told not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, even if we have to do it on screen. And by the way, those of you watching on screen, you know how easy it is to slip one week and then the next and the next. You have then divested yourself of that hour of time and you have begun to reinvest in something that's all about you instead of about Jesus, okay? I'm calling you out on that. If Jesus is the priority, then prayer isn't just a nice thing to do. Prayer is our very breath. And to grow in your prayer life, keep a list, make a journal. And when you pray, pray every day for your church. And when you're praying for your church, God is going to bring people to your mind. People that are having difficulties now, people that are maybe battling different illnesses in their lives. God is going to bring that to your mind. And then you stay in touch. Okay, so you get that email every week that says a newsletter from Ablaze Church. Oh, well, I know what's in there. You know, forget that. Maybe I'll get around to it someday. But, okay, no, just leave it in the shopping cart. No, because you know what? We put stuff in there that matters that you need to know week by week by week to keep the reality of Ablaze Church going. Because we want to be people with zeal. We don't want to be apathetic toward one another and the work of God. Stay in touch. Stay informed. And answer your phone. Look at those emails, texts. And then you begin to have an opportunity to encourage the discouraged. You think anybody in our fellowship is dealing with discouragement? You do. Okay. We need to be reaching out to each other. And you know what? If you're one of those feels discouraged, I'm going to tell you what's the best thing to do. And that is to reach out to someone else. All right? So stay in touch. Encourage the discouraged. Find someone who may be lost. I don't think there's anybody here who doesn't know somebody who is lost. And maybe during this time, God is kind of prying open that shell that they've got around them, and we have the opportunity to tell them the real deal about Jesus Christ, because you know the real deal about zeal. And then prioritize the tithe. It's so easy to let that slip in time like this too. Thank God we're ahead of the game, okay? We are. And that means we will have the opportunity coming after us real soon to do even more, reaching out and carrying out the ministry of Jesus Christ. What about Bible study? You know, cross training. If you want to be part of cross training, it's not too late. You go to the website and tell you exactly how to get into a cross training group. We have a higher percentage of people involved in Bible study through our cross training than any other church that I know of. But we're not there yet, guys. We may be, just edging at around a little bit above average. We want to be normal. And in about a week or two, Shannon and I are going to start an online Bible study that you can access, like any time of the week. A half an hour on the screen, and then whatever you're able to do in addition to that. So, What level are you willing to strive for? Average or normal? Do you feel your life sometimes to be in a jam? You need to, and maybe you feel like you're out there playing games, taking a nap, okay? Well, when are you ready to turn it around? When are you ready to click buy now? Are you ready for your life, for your church, to make a difference in more lives than you can count? You know, the apple seed, how many apples in the apple seed? When we invest the Word of God and the work of God, the mission of God into the life, first of all, into our own lives, into the life of our church and into the life of others. Can you count the apples out there? Can you visualize a humongous heap of apples that come? Well, I don't think God can do that. You know, that's what the devil is trying to tell you right now. So what's the plan? How are you going to do that? It's important for each of us to define in our own hearts the part that we play in the family of God, in the mission of God, in the body of Christ. What about your own personal mission statement? And I'm not saying, hey, write something down, craft a mission statement, but have it clear in your own heart. Why you're here, why God is allowing you to use up the resources of this earth. He wants you to have that real zeal. And then when we come out of that hole that has been dug by COVID, and we need to be getting out of the jam, what will happen? What will happen? There are serious issues for us and for our church. So where is your zeal? Paul wrote to the Corinthians, says, the love of Christ constrains us. In the book of Hebrews, we're told, consider how to encourage and build up and stimulate one another to love and good works. Are you ready to make a difference in the lives of other people? May the Lord just lead us and guide us in that direction.